Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Moving closer and closer to another big weekend of NFL football with Cardinals preseason game against the Chargers. Brad Sussmat with you. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We are Sports 360, AZ.com. We are Arizona-centric. Our website has plenty of content at Sports360AZ.com. Jude LaCava is going to join us on today's show, the great Jude LaCava over at Fox 10. And Jude and I go back like years. Like, he's the one that called me and said, I'm going to leave KTAR and you really should take a look at this, because he and I had worked together on some stories when I was in San Diego and he was doing the radio thing over here. So you can blame him, right? You can say, it's your fault that Sussmat came over here. He gave me the pitch, and I've never looked back. So we'll talk with Jude about a bunch of stuff. I think this is one of those days where you just clean out the files, because there's some clouds around the Cardinals. Doesn't matter how you spin it. You can put the happy face on all you want, and you can say this is great and this is great. This has not been a good camp on many levels for the Cardinals. You can say, oh, you're Mr. Negative. No, I'm not. Let's not sit here and sugarcoat this. When you lose Mike Iupati, that's not good news. So we're going to get into that here in a couple of minutes. There's a great Jim Harbaugh story. Jim Harbaugh blows off the Big Ten Network, and everybody's been out of shape about that. The tragic story of a former NFL quarterback who tried to take his life yesterday, and his wife, ex-wife, is saying that this all has to do with brain injuries. And if you don't think this is serious stuff, then you're just not dealing with reality. I mean, it's all over the place in the NFL and actually in other sports too. So I want to get into that. And of course, whenever ASU unveils new uniforms, well, the world just stops. And I've got a story too. I don't know if Eric, if we're going to get to it, but the Patrick Patterson coffee table, that story, like, really? This is, we have another, like, remember the show Cribs? Used to be on MTV. Used to be really cool. Well, let's show you all the shoes that I have. Let's show you how great my crib is. If we get this picture, it's something that's beyond indescribable that a player would think is really cool to have in his house.
And it's not Patrick Peterson. It's Patrick Patterson.
Did I say Peterson?
No, you did. You said it correctly, but I don't want our audience
thinking. It's not a Cardinal.
Yeah, he's an NBA player.
Yeah. Are we going to have that? You think? You think we can find that one, Efferding?
Sure.
All right. It's about as random a story as you want to see, so we'll have that as well. Let's get you caught up on some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I'm already starting to look ahead to the great sports weekend and the Santan Ford experience for the Sussmats. I'm thinking I'm making a road trip either to Tucson or Flagstaff. It's media days this weekend at both schools. James Harden's going to be in town this weekend, so I'm going to head over to that. I've got water polo for my 10-year-old. I think I've got basketball. I mean, I've got stuff all over the place with my son. And then there's just business. And at some point in time, I'd kind of like to go out to dinner and just have a night out. So I'm going to do that in the Ford Fusion. The Fusion makes a lot of sense for me. I can open up the door for my wife. It's nice, clean, get in the car. I've got the command center. I can get business done when she's not there with me. Today, I've got meetings all over the place as Sports360AZ.com continues to grow. And Tim Hovick and company, they said, hey, Brad, we're with you from day number one, and they've been great on that front. Santan Ford, a terrific partnership with Sports360AZ.com. Stop in for the next time you need a vehicle, car, truck, new, used, certified, pre-owned, or just service with John Bernath over at the Quick Lane. That's Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Let's start with the Cardinals. So, look, I'm not going to sit here and put happy faces on today. We had heard day before yesterday that Iupati left the field. And so you wondered what was going to happen on the offensive line with him. And then the word came out yesterday that he is going to undergo arthroscopic surgery and is going to be out about 6 weeks. So the offensive line for the Arizona Cardinals, we have talked about keeping Carson Palmer upright, is going to be the key to whether or not this team is going to have big success this year. So when people try to sugarcoat this and say, oh, well, it's really, you know, it's going to be early in the season and they'll get him back. I don't know that. You don't know that. It sounds like he'll be able to come off it. Guys come back from scopes all the time. Not that big of a deal? I don't know. Six games into the season. If you look at the Cardinals' schedule, it gets really difficult as the season progresses. The front end of their schedule has some games that are winnable. And if you look at the offensive line, and Bobby Massey on the right side is going to have his three-game suspension. They really don't know what's going on at center between Shipley and Larson. They bring Sendeline back. Jonathan Cooper is finally healthy, but Jonathan Cooper is unproven. Valdir's a stud. Valdir's terrific. I have no problems with Jared Valdir. But when you go through the offensive line of the Cardinals, and I don't sit here very often and break down left tackles and right tackles on a radio show. It's just not of interest to me for long, long stretches. But it does impact Carson Palmer. If you don't have an offensive line that is all on the same page, working together, you don't have the depth, and Carson Palmer just has, you know, DJ Humphrey's Olays once or twice, and Carson gets trucked, and Carson's done, this team's done, okay? We saw it last year. I don't have the faith in Drew Stanton. I don't have the faith in Logan Thomas to take them as far as Carson Palmer can take them. It's pretty simple. If he plays 10 to 12 games, I think they have a shot. If he doesn't, they're not. So this is a setback for them. I think at the running back position, you can bring in Chris Johnson. That's all well and good. But Andre Ellington's not been healthy. David Johnson, not been healthy. Ellington looked pretty good the other night. Not at 100%, was beat up last year. Is he durable enough? Look, I'm not raining on your parade. I'm just speaking truth here. This is really not that hard. This is a concern. The Michael Floyd injury, while I'm not big on Michael Floyd, it's a big year for him. I think they can replace him, but it's a first-round pick who goes down. Is he going to be ready at the start of the season? I don't know that.
I wonder, Brad, Saturday against the Chargers, if we'll see a lot of what we saw last week against the Chiefs when it comes to Carson Palmer. One two-step drop, get the ball out of your hands within 2 seconds. No five-step drop, looking down the field.
Why would you?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's
really
not
no
like he
to.
It's not like he doesn't know the playbook or understand the route concepts.
But Arian said the starters are going to go a quarter. Okay, so, you know, in my mind, it's if you do a 10-play drive and you go right down the field and you score, get him out of there. I don't need to see.
Like he did last weekend.
Yeah,
made it look pretty easy, actually.
Yeah, give him a few more plays, but I'm just am I overreacting on this injury up front? I don't think I am.
No.
And I don't think
anybody... He was the key piece that they brought in on the offensive line.
Has Weatherspoon been playing at inside line? No.
No.
We haven't seen him.
Last year it was Valdir. This year it's Iupati.
Okay, but so on both sides of the football, it's not like... I mean, other than Calais Campbell, do they have a guy that I look at on the defensive front and say, man, he's got it all figured out and he's ready for a huge season? You can talk all day long to your blue in the face how somebody looked in practice. I don't care. That's not going to be the defining factor for me. So you've had injury at right, you've had a suspension at right tackle, you have an injury at guard, you have a wide receiver who's hurt, you have an inside linebacker who's not been on the field. So you put all that together. And yeah, it's another meaningless preseason game on Saturday against the Chargers, but they're going to play a quarter. There's some interesting stuff with the Chargers that I want to talk about today, and that is, look, we went through a stadium negotiation here 12 years ago, I believe it is now. And the Chargers are going through the same sort of thing. There's a lot of fans over here that came from Southern California. I came from San Diego County. I don't care if the Chargers leave or not. I'm not a fan of any team. I don't, you know, it's fine. I grew up in the Fouts era. I covered the team. I worked for the team. All that stuff on the sidelines and the broadcast. I don't care. What I know is that the city of San Diego is trying to figure out a way to keep the Chargers. It's the number one topic around this team outside of on the field with Philip Rivers. So the way that it's laid out right now, it's $1.1 billion with a B dollars to put a stadium together. And that is the proposed number to come out. This was from the meetings in Chicago last week. To keep the Chargers there, the Chargers would put in about $200 million. The NFL would put in about $200 million. Personal seat licenses would account for some of the money. And then beyond that, it would be on the taxpayers. Now, in San Diego, that just doesn't fly. It's hard to get stadiums built. That stadium, while it looks great from that aerial view, is a dump with a capital D. It was a dump with a capital D when I was there 22 years ago. It's even a bigger hole today. Talking about putting in a stadium in downtown San Diego, there's questions about the ability for fans to go enjoy themselves and tailgating. The NFL doesn't care. They're going to go fill bars. They're going to take away parking spaces. There's going to come a day here in Arizona. It's much like Robert Sarver and what's going on downtown with needing a new arena. There's going to come a day. This is the 10th. This is the 10th anniversary, Eric. I think it's the 10th anniversary.
Believe it or not, 10 years at UOP. 10 years.
10 years of their stadium being out in Glendale. And there's going to come a day when the Cardinals are going to talk about capital improvements, and they're going to talk about needing to do some things, a nip and a tuck, a makeover, things along those lines. The people in San Diego, if we remember back on the Cardinals, there was the threat of the Cardinals moving to L.A. back then. I remember I emceed a Chamber of Commerce luncheon. Never forget this. It was a sports luncheon. Brian Colangelo asked me to emcee it. So I get up on stage at the Biltmore, and it was the day that the Cardinals, there was some talk of the Cardinals moving to Los Angeles. And the Cardinals had a table at this event. And the table wasn't very full, and so I was supposed to acknowledge the tables of the sports teams and how great it is that they're there to support us. So I get to the Cardinals table, and I said, they don't hear. It took me a while to get here today to the Biltmore because there are all these moving trucks over by Ray Road. Got a good laugh. I finish it. Brian comes up, and he's about ready to kill me because I'm in a Chamber of Commerce event, and I'm making fun of the Arizona Super Cardinals, you know. So there was a time where they used Los Angeles as leverage. I'm not saying that they do that now. I think it's a different era with Michael Bidwell myself. The team has proven with the Super Bowls that they've been able to get big events to come here. And there's a level of credibility that didn't exist in years past. But there's going to come a time where we're going to hear it. We might need a new stadium. Oh, we might need an upgrade here or there. So just keep an eye. When you see what goes on in other cities, just know that it could happen to you. On the other side, so uniforms being unveiled today by Arizona State. I don't know. Did they all kind of run together? Didn't they just do this? Are they really that different? Some notes around that. And then I'm going to get into the Eric Kramer story, too. Former Detroit Lion quarterback tried to kill himself last night. And the concussion issue revisits itself. Jude LaCava in about 15 minutes. And Jim Harbaugh's back in the news cycle, too. I'm Brad Sussmath.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
What is it, 2 weeks from tonight? College football season gets started. We're 14, count them, 14 days away. U of A-UTSA game. The Utah-Michigan game, and then the game that Eric is going to be paying most attention to. Who's TCU playing again? Is it somebody of substance?
They're playing Minnesota, yes.
Yeah. And the line on that game is...
I think it's minus 14 the last time I saw it.
Isn't that a little low?
I think it is.
Yeah.
But weird things happen in the first game of the season.
Are you going to watch Utah-Michigan?
I don't think I'll be watching it because it will be on at the same time as
the exact
game.
Same time as your game?
So. I think it's...
Your game's worthless,
7
though.
O'clock. It is?
Yeah, come
worthless?
On. TCU's going to beat the tar out of them.
Worthless?
Do you go to Vegas? Or do you go to like some place that has both games on at the same time? Or do you have to be... Are you one of these guys that sits by yourself with the doors closed and the lights out? Just you?
Yes.
Wow. Really?
I mean, my wife is there and the dogs. The dogs usually run upstairs because they're scared. And I'm not even kidding you when I say that.
Because you throw stuff, right?
I don't throw, but I'm very...
Do you use salty
animated.
Language?
To myself.
Do you?
Sure.
Really? Wow. Because your quarterback's like the best quarterback in the nation, supposedly, this year.
I guess. We'll see. It's a long season.
You know, the U of A-UTSA game was interesting to me last year. It's not as much interest to me this year.
Because UTSA basically lost all of
everybody.
Their starters.
They lost everybody. Yeah, no, that's true.
And that was a big game, a Thursday night game for them in San Antonio last year. It was a close game. I think U of A won by 3 or 4. This year, they won't win by three or four. They'll win by three or four
and
touchdowns.
That game is Thursday, right, if I remember correctly?
Yes, I believe same
day.
So.
And then NAU plays Stephen F. Austin the same day, about the same time as ASU, like 90 miles away from ASU. I mean, they're right around there. So ASU had a close scrimmage last night. They are 16 days away from going down to Houston to take on Texas A&M. The Sun Devils announced this morning with Adidas their new uniforms. Now, I know that we all get excited about fashion in this country. It's something that when new shoes come out, we think we're all Imelda Marcoses. We all think we can go put on shoe after shoe after shoe. We watch VH1, we watch MTV, we watch E, we see who's in style. We all want to be that one that looks great. On the football field, it's no different. When a team goes from Nike to Adidas, they make it as a huge deal because guess what? It means you got to come into our team shop and cha-ching. You need to get all new gear, cha-ching. You need to get gear for mom and daughters and babies. Forget about you, dude. We want to see you in a Simone jersey, even though he doesn't get any of that money, cha-ching. So today, the Sun Devils and Adidas unveiled the Sun Devils' new Desert Ice Prime Knit Alternative Football Uniforms. Now, those are the new uniforms. Does it get you pumped up? Does it get you excited? The answer would be, I don't know. I don't care how they look. Can they play? I've seen plenty of teams that have great-looking jerseys, and they're mostly empty because the guys can't play dead. They can't tackle. They can't catch. They can't run, but they look great. I don't care how you look. I don't care.
But the fashion police, which are the 4- and 5-star recruits that love...
That can play
and love the jerseys, who they cater to. Personally, I don't want to be the turd in the punch bowl in all this, Brad, but I really like the Nike look more than the Adidas look. Mm-hmm. I like the Desert Fuel uniforms they wore last year against Notre Dame, but these are fine. I mean, they're really not that much different.
No, they're not. They're not. They sent out a release on this that the new special edition uniform pays homage. What special edition means is get your gear now from the team shop because it's not going to be here, and then you can tell your friends you have special edition, just so you know. This is inspired by the school's iconic logo, this according to the school. The Desert Ice design is centered around an oversized, polished copper version of the pitchfork. Do we have that picture again, Jared Nielsen? I want to just see, do I see this oversized version of the pitchfork? I see the pitchfork. It looks sized. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks oversized.
All right. If you say so.
It does.
Highlighted with a metallic back outline featured on the helmets and the pants. Now, I'm not ripping on these.
No, they're cool. I mean, they're cool. Like them. I just like the old ones more.
I've had some people, though, that have sent me on social media today saying that they look like the Rattlers uniforms in some certain sense. I don't quite see that myself. Copper, one of the Arizona 5 C's. Again, I'm reading from the release. Cattle, copper, citrus, cotton, and climate was introduced as the official school color as part of the university-wide rebrand in 2011. So how many of these rebrands have they had, I want to know, in terms of jerseys coming on board? And there's kids that I've coached that are over at ASU. They'll send out pictures of, here's how our volleyball team looks, here's how our soccer team looks, and it's all well and good. But again, do you have people that can play in those jerseys? They could have done a rebrand 5 years in a row on the basketball team, and they still weren't winning. So I don't care. But fans do. So to me, winning is more important than how you look. But they're out there for you today, and so get excited if you're an ASU fan. U of A finishes up their practices for their camp this week because their first game is coming up right around the corner. They have a scrimmage on Saturday. It is not open. You can't even go down there and shoot video or photos of it, so we're not going to go. But on Sunday, will be media day at U of A. There's some interesting stories at U of A this year. I've been talking to some of their coaches down there about some of the players, and I'm pretty big on what U of A is doing. I'm pretty big on them. So that's coming up this weekend, too. I'm going to switch over to Eric Kramer now for a couple of minutes. So When I saw the headline last night, former NFL quarterback wounded in apparent suicide attempt, I didn't know what to think. I didn't know if it was like when Steve McNair was killed. I didn't know if it was when Junior Seau took his life. I didn't know what was related to it all. And then I saw that it was Eric Kramer. Eric Kramer played with the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. He suffered a gunshot wound that was described as non-life-threatening. He led the Lions to the NFC Championship game in 1991. In 2011, Kramer's 18-year-old son, Griffin, died of a heroin overdose. He and his former wife have another son, Dylan, who's 17. His ex-wife told NBC last night, "He's such a good dad, and he would not do this to his son. This is a brain injury." Several football players, most notably Junior Seau, ex-Bear Dave Durison. Yesterday on the show, we had Dr. Javier Cardenas on the show from Barrow on the Barrow Brain Book. And I was talking with him about the concussions and what's changed. They're going to be on the sidelines this year at NFL games. And last night on Twitter, the Dave Durison Foundation started following me. And it kind of sent chills through me, like, wow, man. And Dr. Cardenas retweeted our interview with a link to it. And there's not enough that's being made of this. And when you see the studies that have linked the violence in football to CTE, that's a degenerative disease that can cause symptoms like depression, memory loss, aggression, dementia. They don't know if Eric Kramer has CTE. But for those of you that are in your, I'd say, you remember Eric Kramer, Eric, and you're in your 40s.
I do remember him.
Yeah. You remember him as a Charger?
Journeyman or? Quarterback, but a good quarterback, a good journeyman quarterback.
Yeah.
I remember him most as a Lion.
As a Lion, sure. So if you're above, what would you say, the age of 35, you probably know Eric Kramer, wow, maybe even 30, tried to take his life. And the wife is saying it's because of the brain injury and that he's really struggled following his NFL career. And this is only going to continue. This is not just going to go away. And it's very, very, it's disheartening. It really is. Jude LaCava's on the other side. We're going to talk to Jude about all things going on in the Arizona sports scene. Because I'm sitting here today, I'm not pushing a panic button, but I'm just merely pointing out that this has not been a stellar camp for the Arizona Cardinals top to bottom. There's been some positives. Don't get me wrong. Carson Palmer was great the other night. Hear me out. I'm not banging on them. I'm just pointing out that when you have injuries and you have guys that aren't here and guys that are not on the field, I'm referring to Darrell Washington and Bobby Massey gets suspended and all that stuff. It's not good. And I don't want to hear, well, every team's got issues. That's a cop-out. I don't care what's going on in Minnesota. I don't care about Oakland. I only care what's going on here. I'm Brad Sussmat. Brad Sussmat with you. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. It was good seeing the AZ Central Sports guys, Mark Fowler and Jay Diefenbach, here earlier this week. As we continue to grow by leaps and bounds, working up on year number 4, Jude LaCava joins us now, the great Jude LaCava, Fox 10 sports director. All right, so off the top of the show today, I let the audience in on a little secret. They can blame you for me coming here because you were the one that talked to me when we were in La Jolla years ago about how you were leaving, and then I remember a phone conversation with you, so it's your fault. There you go.
Well, we're both dating ourselves, man. That's a long time ago. That's another lifetime ago, Brad. But it was fortuitous for both of us, and it's been quite a run. We've seen a lot. We've been through a lot with the growth of this sports market, that's for sure.
All right, so are you concerned? Is it fair to say, let's start calling this camp concern for the Cardinals because the Upati injury, the Massey suspension, Weatherspoon's not been on the field, Floyd gets hurt. On the other side, yeah, Carson Palmer's look great. We don't know about Chris Johnson. Where are you at on camp concern or not?
There has to be concern when you have an outbreak of injuries, and you have to look at the fact that it looks like you're going to have two of the five starters along your offensive line out at least for a few games for the start of the season. And as tough as this schedule is, every game can mean the difference between a wild card, a division championship, or being on the outside looking in for a playoff spot. So there has to be concern. I like what I see. I think it's been a fabulous camp from a standpoint of what we've seen from some of the younger guys, like J.J. Nelson, like Xavier Williams, what we've seen from Justin Bethel at corner, what we've seen from some of the even undrafted free agents like Jackson Shipley. I mean, they've done a nice job. This is a deep football team. But frontliners are frontliners, and you want them in the lineup. So I hate to pass it off on bad luck, but it's a trend that hit last year and continues this year, and you just hope that doesn't show up in the loss column, Brett.
Because having Carson Palmer get trucked, that's it for them. I just don't see Drew Stanton, and I don't see Logan Thomas being able – we didn't see it last year, so why am I to believe that if Bobby Massey's not there – and DJ Humphrey steps in, and they think he's a little bit of ways away, a little immature and all that, that he's not going to go ole on a block, and all of a sudden there goes Carson. Well, why am I not to believe that?
You have to be worried about that. I mean, the fortunes of the Cardinals on the arm of Carson is legit. Look, Drew did a nice job managing the games. He played well, and then he got hurt. So you're exactly right. You can't sit here and say you're not concerned as much as there's the major emphasis of any defense is pressure on the quarterback, sacking the quarterback, hitting the quarterback. And, you're looking at a right tackle situation. Bradley Sal's okay, but he's not Bobby Massey. You're exactly right. I really would be concerned. You cannot win a Super Bowl, and they want to win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
Without your frontline quarterback. It rarely happens. So I see this. And, if you look at, is it bad luck? Is it, I've heard a lot of talk about what's been going on with some of the strength conditioning situations over there in terms of, you don't want to do your squats the same day you're out there practicing. You've had an inordinate amount of hamstring injuries.
Yep.
But, there's also just the bad fortune or the bad luck, the percentages that go against you, and that's what's happening right now. But this is a talented team, and I've not seen a deep receiving core for the Cardinals like this before. I think their secondary is fabulous. I think what they've been able to do in terms of acquiring talent has been very aggressive. We've not seen this kind of assertiveness from a GM in a long time, and forever,
right,
since Steve Keim has taken over the last 3 years. So you have to like that part.
I'm not downplaying the positive side here. I'm just merely, as we're sitting here in August, I'm just concerned today. So where do you come down on Chris Johnson? Is this... okay, they thought their running back situation was going to be better. It's not. It's dinged up. It's banged up. This on the surface could be an absolutely terrific acquisition. I see very little downside. But doesn't it strike you that the week before the first preseason game, they're having to reach and go find a veteran to try to plug a hole?
Well, at least they're doing it, because years ago they wouldn't.
Correct.
They would rarely bring in guys during the season on even Tuesday tryouts or workouts. So, here's how I look at it, Brad. At the very least, a part-time Chris Johnson that splits carries with Andre Ellington has got to be able to upgrade your position. So if you look at it, it's 10, 12 carries a game. You split that with Ellington, and you try to get through the rigors of a 16-game schedule. I like it. They looked at Steven Jackson. He's lost a step. They looked at a few other guys. Best available, somebody out to prove something. Chris Johnson fits the bill. He's still just 29. So I do like it. And again, if you look at the arsenal of speed from J.J. Nelson to John Brown, to some of the size and talent now at the tight end position, and then you add Johnson and Ellington, it's strong. It's strong, man. I have to salute them and say, okay, they looked at it. Maybe they didn't think David Johnson was quite ready as a rookie. And I've noticed just him kind of a little bit confused at knowing where to go and what to do, and the typical rookie growth curve that you see out there from time to time. I have to say, good move. Can he give you 25, 30 carries? I don't want that. I don't want to see that. I want to see split carries with Andre Ellington and Chris Johnson and these guys being able to sustain an energy for the entire regular season.
Talking with Jude LaCava for a couple of minutes, Fox 10 Sports Director Brad Sesmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. More wins, ASU or the Cardinals this year?
Boy, that's close. I see ASU right in that 9-10 win category again. I think Graham is just unbelievably intense. I have to say it's contingent upon Palmer, but yes, I can see the Cardinals at, again, 10 wins, mm-hmm. even with some of these early injuries. I think they're right in the mix. I think they're very much in the playoff mix. But I will tell you this. I've never, and you were part of this, the all-access with Coach Graham last week. It was absolutely enlightening. You know, Brad, many, many years ago, I attended Fork Union Military Academy on a partial basketball scholarship. I felt like I was back in military school when Graham addressed his team at 7 a.m. In a militaristic type way. He mm-hmm. is demanding. He's intense. I've never, ever, ever seen a head coach as driven, as intense as Todd Graham. And I have to tell you, he's backed it up with a freshman recruiting class that I have not seen at ASU since I've been here, and that goes back to 1989. Jason Lewis is a true freshman.
He's a beast, man. He is just gigantic.
Nick Ralston. Yeah. Here's a fullback that can play right away. Yeah. JoJo Wicker. Here's a three-technique defensive tackle that will play right away. Kareem Moore, a DB that will play right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about four or five impact freshman players. That tells you just how aggressive he's recruited. And, man, these young men are talented, athletic, physical, and big.
I was down at U of A a couple of weeks ago, and Rich Rod's got some kids, too, that can play. I don't remember in the years that I've been here, not as many as you, but over 20, a time where both U of A and ASU appear to me to have enough talent to be top 15, if not higher, programs at the same time.
I would agree, and I think that I'd have to probably even give the edge to ASU only because of how they've stacked the depth at their position. I mean, mm-hmm. defensive line, their secondary, their linebacking core. You know, when you look at a guy like Longino, who's a senior, now fighting his way to try to get in the lineup, that tells you a lot. When you look at some of these young offensive linemen, some of them either redshirt or true freshmen that will contribute in their first year. When you look at the depth at running back, I mean, Gump Hayes coming over from Lackawanna Junior College in Scranton, PA, this kid, the speedster and a playmaker, and then Balazs and DeMario Richard. I, if you're a Sun Devil fan, you have to be stoked, absolutely stoked. Yeah. Now, having said that, Brad, I think there's a real Achilles heel here, and that is if Mike Bercovici goes down, again, similar to the Cardinals, their depth at quarterback is extremely green behind them. I know they would love to redshirt Brady White. I think you got to look at Perkins. I don't know if Manny Wilkins is ready. He seems to struggle at times. They're vulnerable at the number two spot at quarterback in big game situations. If Burke loses any kind of time this year, right? That is interesting to me. Maybe their most vulnerable position.
Before I get you out of here, what do you think is going to happen with the Suns and the new arena? My view is Robert's going to build south of where the present arena is, or he's going to come up here and build by talking stick. What about you?
Well, I know that there, I can tell you officially that there have been talks with a third party regarding the 101 and talking stick. The tribe seems to be a little cautious about the amount of money involved, although they love the NBA. They have been big fans of the Suns for years. I think there's still challenges ahead. I think Robert doesn't have the gravitas anywhere near, obviously, of a Jerry Colangelo. Nobody wants to lose the Suns, and I'm not saying that we lose them.
No, but it's fair to bring that up, Jude. I'm glad you brought it up because, look, Seattle and Vegas are just going to sit there and go after anybody who's got a building situation. That's just a fact.
And I see a struggle. I only because I don't see the type of business relationships that Robert has created in his tenure that I saw or realized with Jerry Colangelo. And this is going to be a very expensive proposition. Now, having said that, I know a guy like Mayor Stanton wants to look good and wants to be the guy that kind of is at the forefront of this venture. Mm-hmm. But this is a complicated, sophisticated issue. Could involve the Coyotes, may not involve the Coyotes. I think personally a combination arena like the Staples could possibly be in the future, and that would help Sarver's cause. But right now I see a big hurdle ahead. The team's image has been blunted by missing the playoffs the last 5 years.
Incompetence. Incompetence. It's just been incompetence.
Total incompetence.
Yeah.
It has been, we're learning on the job. And one step forward, two steps back. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help his situation. So I see a ton of issues ahead. Boy, this is going to be a very complicated, challenging chapter ahead for Phoenix Sports when it comes to new facilities. So I'm putting out the caution flag early here and watching it carefully.
Yeah, I think the soccer team's going to factor in on the talking stick thing as well. I'll let you go off that. My time is up. Thanks for the visit, as always. Stay well.
You got it, Brad.
Here's Jude LaCava with us. Sports Director Fox 10, things going on around Arizona sports. On the other side, Jim Harbaugh blows off some people that he probably shouldn't blow off. And then when you make all your money in pro sports and you want to have that table, that signature table item that shows that you've made it, of course you have to have, well, you won't believe that story. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussman. Pretty fired up for tonight. It's the start of the high school football season, and we have plenty of content on our site, sports360az.com. Chandler, who has at least, I don't know, a dozen or so, according to the recruiting roundup guys, Jason Jewell and Jared Cohen on our site. Jason, of course, with scout.com, they do a terrific job, the best of the best of the best when it comes to recruiting and high school football by far, with Jason Jewell and Jared Cohen. So tonight it's Pinnacle against Chandler, and you know that when Chandler plays, like, coaches from across the country are going to be paying attention to it. It's Pinnacle's playing a true freshman quarterback. Good luck with that. Hey, welcome to high school football. You get Chandler. Knock yourself out. And there's games going on this weekend, too. So our guys are going to be out. I think I'm heading to Tucson tomorrow to watch Hamilton play. And then in a couple weeks here, we'll have a college season getting underway. And then, of course, the Cardinals in their regular season game with the Saints. On the college front, this story caught my eye. The Big Ten Network showed up at Michigan to do their tour of the training camps, to talk about how great the Wolverines are going to be. Big Ten Network rolls into town. You got to drop everything, right? No. If you're Jim Harbaugh, you don't drop anything. Jim Harbaugh blew off the Big Ten Network. He said that he is all business. It's part of Harbaugh's fall camp approach. No other media members have been allowed to speak with Michigan player or coach since camp opened on August 7th. The coaches were always in full-blown teaching mode, so there was no wasted motion at all, according to Tom Dinehart of the Big Ten Network, Big10.com's senior writer. Some of the practices you go to, there might be more than 100 people on the sidelines. Not here. There's a quiet calm about the practice, really, the quiet calm, the professionalism. It was almost like an NFL thing. Continuing to quote Tom Dinehart, we were at Northwestern a few days ago. It was a real rah-rah practice. Players were hooting and hollering. Pat Fitzgerald was really getting into it. We saw it in Michigan. It was a complete contrast. So Jim Harbaugh is going to roll in there because Michigan has done nothing when it comes to football in recent years. I can't wait to see him blow up another coach after a game is over. I just can't. It's going to be so much fun, and it's 2 weeks from tonight. And he's got a big game. It's not like they're opening with a nobody. They're opening at Utah. So the Harbaugh era, it gets more and more intriguing. I can't think of a more intriguing coach this year. Urban Meyer put me to sleep. Okay. Nick Saban put me to sleep. The coaching changes, Jim McElwain going to Florida. It's Florida. They're going to take a few years to rebuild. Charlie Strong down at Texas, maybe because Steve Patterson is on thin ice there. Out here in the West, you know, Todd Graham is intriguing with the team that they have. I think they could go a long ways this year. And Rich Rod, I still believe Rich Rod's going to get chased hard this year. Telling you, if LSU struggles, Les Miles is going to be blown out, and they're going to come after Rich Rod. As sure as I'm sitting here on the 20th of August, that's going to happen. I'm not saying he's going to leave. There's the annuity in place, but it's going to happen if LSU struggles. And finally, because, guys, we all want to make it in life, right? When we make it in life, some of us, we go out and we buy a boat. Some of us buy a second or third house. Some of us go on big vacations. Some of us like to just put our money away. But then we have Patrick Patterson of the Toronto Raptors. Patrick Patterson made it in a big way, so what did he do? But of course, he plays for the Raptors, so he spent his money on a Raptors skull to put on his dining room table. Of course he did. It makes perfect sense to me. Absolutely. Hey, I made it. What can we do about it? Well, can I go find a raptor's skull to go put right in the middle? Because it's a great conversation piece. It's not the elk on the wall. No. It's not the fish stuffed on the wall. No. It's a bunch of bones laying there in front of you while you're having your drink and hanging out. Hey, that's pretty cool. We're part of Jurassic Park here. Of course that makes perfect sense to me. I'll go on eBay and I'll find myself a raptor to put up on my living room table. Why not? Get on the only in sports. Can't make this stuff up. I'm Brad Sussmatt.